Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
In 2018, Twitter identified nearly 4,000 accounts associated with a single Russian-owned company, which were responsible for close to 176,000 tweets in the 10 weeks leading up to the 2016 presidential election. That same company was spotlighted in the official report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential elections released by the U.S. Department of Justice in 2019. The investigation revealed that the company had paid employees referred to as specialists that were responsible for posing as U.S. citizens and political activist groups on English-speaking social media platforms. When posing as individuals, their goal seemed to be weaving pro-Russia propaganda and disinformation into seemingly non-political ponderings of your everyday citizen. This company has been linked to spoof websites that try to pose as credible news sources and sources of information in order to spread stories that are either false or misleading and aimed at widening divisions within the geopolitical landscape of not only the US, but around the world as well. This case file, the theorists dive into the world of disinformation and the factory of fake news known as the Internet Research Agency.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 144, Internet Research Agency. I'm Comrade Braden.
I'm Comrade Zell.
I am Master Daniel.
And I am Comrade Andrew.
Good greetings. I can't keep that up.
No, I can't keep that one up.
It's a hard accent to do.
Welcome, comrades.
We've dived deep into Internet Research Agency. Should we just get right into, why don't we fire up the Randomatron, get a story. Let's start with the Randomatron story.
Start with that
week.
Today? All right, here
start
we go.
That. Mix it up.
Fan story.
Ooh, fan story. This is from Casey. Thanks for sending this one in, Casey. Anyways, this happened in about September. I was doing a lot of traveling for work at my previous job, and I was driving from Oroville, California, back home to Boise, Idaho, for a week that I had off. I already worked a 70-hour week. It's about a 9-hour drive, not too long, but was already exhausted from work. So I started getting tired a little after getting across the Nevada border into Oregon. So a ways into Oregon, I decided to pull over, take a quick nap on the side of the road. It was a little after midnight. I was in the middle of nowhere. No cars on the road, just woods on either side of me. So I was sitting there listening to one of your guys' podcasts, relaxing, when I had to take a piss. So I got out of the truck and I did my business. I was just on the outside of my truck on the passenger side, and from where I was, there was about 200 yards of field before the tree line. And I happened to look up and saw someone standing just on the outside of the trees. I had all my work tools with me, so I grabbed my flashlight and shined it on him, and it appeared to be a man wearing an elephant mask. And as soon as the light hit him, he took a step forward and I ran back into the truck and took the fuck off. No way in hell was I going to sit there and see what that was all about. That's how you get murdered. But it definitely woke me up and did not stop driving till I got home. And that was the story. I hope you fellas liked it. I have some more haunting stories from when I was a kid. So if you want to hear them, let me know. Yeah, send them in. Casey, that's Casey's weird elephant mask story. It's weird. I have a friend on Vancouver Island, and he said that one time he was driving in the woods with a buddy, and they were stopping and having a beer or something. And as they were sitting on the forestry road, like a group of like 9 people came out wearing indigenous masks, and they just kind of walked around the car and came out of the bushes. And then they just all like walked back into the woods, and they were like, "What the hell was that?" They peeled out, but like, man, especially like midnight, seeing someone just wearing an elephant mask sitting in a field.
It's like basically indigenous Eyes Wide Shut party. Yeah. Not somewhere you want to be. Not somewhere you want to be.
Password is orgy.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Oh, that's a cool story. Right.
Yep, thank you. If you want your story read, send it to alientheorists@gmail.com. Use Randomatron's story in the subject line. And let me know if I can use your name or not. Anyways, the Internet Research Agency. What's that all about?
Dan got us going down the rabbit hole here.
Well, basically, what I've learned so far from looking into it for a week is we are currently in World War III cyber zone. It's happening right now as we speak.
Can't trust anything you read.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that you're wrong.
Feels that way.
The Internet Research Agency, as vague as it sounds, is an actual company. You look it up, it's Internet Research Agency, IRA, LLC. It is a Russian-based company, organization, which has been alleged to engage in operations to interfere with political and electoral processes in countries beyond Russia. So there's been accusations that this agency has been propagating disinformation against countries like Ukraine, places like Syria, and also in the United States. They are included in the indictments that were a part of the Mueller report. So this is something that is maybe not a lot of people have heard about, but if you've heard about the Mueller report, it's in there.
Yeah, you heard about it briefly in the news, but it seems like something like this should have been way more widespread, like through the media, of letting people know about this thing. But it was just like, yeah, it was in a few things here and there, but it wasn't very much on like the public or like a mainstream media at all. This couple of quick stories here and there.
Like, you know, up until about 4 minutes ago, I thought we were doing a podcast on the Irish Republican Army. So it's good to know.
Andrew's out.
And he's out.
What else is new?
I looked up all this stuff about car bombs and now I have no idea.
It's a weird thing. Cause like even before looking into this, you know, I'd heard about, you know, the Russian trolls are at it again. You'll see every now and then on Twitter, you're like, oh, the Russian trolls are really at it again. The Russian bots, this. But like, I never realized that there's like an actual agency that's behind it all.
Yeah.
Like it's a right. And funded there is program.
There is very, what you really hear about most of the time is like, if they talk about in the media, they don't really mention the specific agency. They really just equate the Internet Research Agency with Russia, because the IRA seems to be a state funded and has been connected to a lot of political figures, a lot of at least a couple of oligarchs and people who own a lot of the businesses in Russia. So before we all get into that, we need to talk about
Russia. Like, disinformation seems to be something not just in recent times, but going back like deep into the Cold War.
Right. So Russian disinformation campaigns is not something new. It's not something that they just came up with and that they've, they discovered the internet and they're like, oh, we can just put out as much disinformation as possible. The KGB during the Soviet, you know, during the Soviet Union days, during the Cold War days, they were doing this. They were perfecting their craft. They knew the importance. They knew the significance of disinformation, which if you kind of distinguish between the two, disinformation is different from propaganda. So some people kind of use the terms interchangeably, but disinformation is information that's used to deliberately deceive somebody, while propaganda is trying to convince somebody to believe in something. Now, when we looked into this, I gave you guys a documentary from the New York Times to watch, Operation Infection.
Yeah.
Which basically lays out what the KGB used to call active measures, or it's like active measures, yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, but there's seven
active measures.
Active measures.
Active measures.
So, active measures is basically the equivalent of, or the, you know, let's get the strategic lingo of bullshit, right? It was how active measures were what KGBs and what they said probably was 25% of a KGB agent's job, actual job, was propagating disinformation to in order to subvert or delegitimize governments or persons of interest or governments in themselves, right?
I mean, didn't it say something like these guys were getting about 75% of the budget?
Like the actual...
Like they were saying like only, you know, there was a super small amount that was actually going towards actual spy and espionage, and the rest was getting funneled into the disinformation and whatnot.
Right. What they said was like the KGB early on realized that most of the resources were better spent on releasing disinformation, you know, getting people to, you know, the aim was not to have a war. It wasn't foment like an actual war because you didn't want that. You know, most Russians still remembered World War II, and it was like fighting a ground war was something that you didn't want to do. It's stupid, right? Yeah. And in the documentary, at least one former KGB agent relates his philosophy or the philosophy of the KGB, where it's like you don't want to fight an actual physical war. What you want is you want the other country or the enemy to turn in on itself. Right? It's much easier.
And this is before the internet was around. So these motherfuckers were playing the long game with a lot of this stuff. They're just throwing stuff out there and being like, the amount of stuff that like has stuck is surprising. So I can't even imagine how much just bullshit, like tabloid bullshit was thrown out around the world.
So if 25% of their job is just to come up with disinformation campaigns and then like bounce it off each other, like, what do you think about this one? What do you think about that one?
What do you think about this, comrade? Loose in New York.
So day one on the job, basically what we do today is we're going to shit in your hand and throw it to the wall and hope it sticks.
Basically.
And that is not entirely inaccurate when you kind of put it that way.
Let's tell them Nostradamus has a very negative prediction of this year. Send it to National Enquirer, yeah.
From the experts who have studied these disinformation campaigns and the ones that they have done throughout the decades, there's kind of like seven real moves that they pulled from what you could kind of call a playbook or a toolkit or toolbox or whatever you want to call it. So first one is what they would say is to find the cracks. So find the cracks in a country equates to, you know, finding any type of cultural, racial, economic divide, cultural divide,
religious,
in a country which you can exploit, right?
If only there was a perfect climate for that right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And see, number two would be the big lie. So once you find that crack, you want to write a story. You want to somehow publish a story or some piece of or give some type of information that makes an extraordinary claim, something that nobody would possibly believe, right? That's so crazy. Why would anybody think that's actually true?
So something like the United States invented AIDS?
Yes. In 1970, yes. Next, you want to wrap that big lie around a kernel of truth. And this is very similar with any lie or any type of like espionage, is like you want to be able to take a tiny piece of truth and then kind of wrap, you know, all of your subterfuge, all of your, you know, whatever narrative that you're going to have, you want to wrap it around there. So like Zell mentioned, you know, the accusation that the AIDS virus was invented or created in U.S. labs in order to kill disproportionate amount of homosexuals and
African descent
and African Americans. Okay. The kernel of truth is that, yes,
deadly AIDS virus
in the beginning was killing a disproportionate amount of,
and no one really knew anything about it.
Yeah,
like there was so much terror and fear behind it. They didn't know much about it, where it came from, its origins, and there was already this fear. So there's your kernel of truth, where it's like, well, people, it's already has this mysterious, like no one's seen anything like this before.
Right. Then you have the next, you take the next step after your kernel of truth. You find that little Pete. You conceal your hand, which usually means that you want to put the story out, but you don't want anybody else to know that you're the one putting the story out.
What they did in this instance is they just released information to an Indian reporter out in India to run the story in like some small...
was called the Indian. Sun or something.
The Sun.
An English paper in India ran the story first about America developed the virus to target Africans and homosexuals, and then was picked up by the Patriot papers.
Even before then, it was then picked up by Moscow, like an English-speaking newspaper in Moscow, and they cited
their own story.
Their own story that they planted in India as evidence of this conspiracy.
So like now, Dan, that was part of their strategy, though, correct? Like they initially leaked stories like this in third world countries.
Well, it's easy to buy press. It's easy.
Yeah, not necessarily leaked. It was more like engineered. So more like you would find, KGB agents were quoted, former KGB agents, outlined their strategies that they would look for. So you would look for reporters or newspapers or publications in third world countries, India, Thailand. I think Japan was mentioned, but it's technically not third world at that point. But anywhere that was easy to buy press, you know, reporters could be bribed, publications could be bribed to kind of just print anything.
So that's the conceal your hand, is having someone else publish it. Not directly. It's not just like Russian newspaper does it. They've done somewhere else and then cited from that paper, and it slowly spreads across the world.
Exactly. Well, not even that, right? So next you need to find your useful idiot, right? That's your next step.
We've got a couple of duds on this podcast we could use.
Yeah, we got four of us. We'll talk about it later, maybe in after hours, but we have been useful idiots after researching this.
So your useful idiot is usually somebody who either that you pay, or whether knowingly or unknowingly, will verify your story, somehow lend it legitimacy in some way. So you could either find, you know, academics, scientists, any type of person who will kind of go ahead and support or lend an air of, you know, credibility to your story.
At least someone would be like, well, yes, that actually, it may be plausible, even though if they don't really believe it, just them saying that, citing the initial story, is enough to do it.
Right. Somebody who can produce a nice little quote,
yeah,
to be like, yeah.
With the AIDS story, they had two scientists that they were heavily quoting that were saying, like, we can prove, like, we found proof. We can prove that this was created in a lab. We found the evidence. Both these scientists were batshit crazy, off the wall, and they were married, and they just never mention that. Like, so you have these two separate scientists that they always refer to talk when talking about the AIDS being developed in the United States, but they were both crazy and they lived together. They were crazy together. You're useful
crazy
idiots.
In love.
Yeah, crazy in love.
So your next two steps, you got your next one is deny everything. Deny, 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 deny.
We did not
ask
do
you
it.
About it. I've never heard about that. You are not crazy us. For even accusing me of that. Why would you even say that?
We would not do this. We would not.
Yeah. What is AIDS, you say? How you say
what
aid?
What are you talking about? We love no, America.
We give no
about?
Foreign aid.
And then last, finally, is to play the long game. And if it's one thing that, you know, doing research for this and you know, other topics that we've done, like, one thing I can say about Russia is that they do know how to play the long game.
Oh, yeah.
Culturally, if you think about it, Russia has a kind of advantage that some other countries don't have, is that they have almost like a national identity, which spans back like 500 years, right? Maybe longer than that. I mean, they were Russian before they were American colonies, right?
Yep.
There was a Russia. And whether or not, you know, the governments have changed, where you go back to the time of the czars, you know, whether it's communist, Soviet Union, communists, whatever, and now the democratically elected, I put that in heavy quotes.
Forcefully democratically quotes, elected.
You know, government of today. Russia knows how to play the long game. And like Braden said, what they would do is they printed that story about the America, you know, they had that story printed in a newspaper from New Delhi, small newspaper. And they waited 6 years for it to kind of, you know,
percolate.
Do its thing. They kind of left it alone, right? And then they brought it back into the limelight, and where it ended up, like, that story ended up going on to national U.S. news at one point, like,
dude,
on the 8 o'clock
headline
news.
Headline
it's,
news.
It's still in pop culture. It's still in pop culture. Like, you go into any, like, you kind of look up any crazy, like, crazy conspiracies on Google or something, you'll find one that says, like, AIDS was manufactured by the States for this reason. Like, you will read the disinformation. It's everywhere. Like, it's lasted.
Well, and it's not only that, it spawned, like, countless people, like, dedicating their lives researching it, right? Researching a story that was initially put out as disinformation has taken on a whole life of its own and has lasted generations now.
Every time we have a new virus come out that people don't understand, it's always the rumors of it being developed in a lab and being leaked out. Happens.
Well,
it happened
dude,
with SARS. It happened with COVID. COVID was made
dude,
in a Wuhan lab.
COVID is almost followed the exact same steps as what the KGB did with the AIDS pandemic. Is like you said, it all of a sudden we're hearing it's developed in this Wuhan lab. Then it's you know, we have some doctors saying that they can prove it and they found this thing, and you know, it just all this information. You know, you have a president of the United States tweeting these. Well, these same conspiracy theories.
Well, that one, I mean, we could do a whole case file on that, but that one's a little bit different in the fact that it didn't happen over years. It's been like, that's been the initial thought from day one.
But here's the thing, the difference is...
I don't think you have to long play it when you have the internet now.
You
like,
don't.
It can spread like wildfire instantly.
And that's the dangers of, like, before they did play the long game because they had to, right? You would just throw these nuggets out at newspapers and see what caught. Now you don't have to. You can just throw everything, shotgun approach, everything everywhere at all times. And that's what we're seeing.
And that leads us from Soviet Union day disinformation to Internet Research Agency disinformation.
Right. So now you have not only, it's not just the KGB. Okay. KGB has been disbanded. And you kind of have right now, like, the two kind of secretive organizations you have are like the GRU and the FSB, I believe, are the two kind of like secretive, you know, they're basically the CIA and the FBI
right.
of Russia. Okay. The Internet Research Agency has been associated with those entities, with those government agencies. But the big funder, or the person who owns Internet Research Agency, is a man named Yevgeny Prigozhin.
Yevgeny Prigozhin.
Yeah. This dude is, he's titled as a kind of restaurateur, a caterer, right?
It's the nickname of
caterer of lies.
He's the nickname of the Kremlin's chef.
Yes, he is considered to be Putin's personal chef. And if you people who have looked into his past, that this guy got his start, or he's even self-claimed that he got his start selling hot dogs on the street. Must be really good hot dogs. I don't know.
He's living a Russian dream.
Russian dream.
From hot dog to master of spiders. I want to just, before we glaze over the fact that I want to make sure we mention that, like, Putin in his KGB days was heavily involved in these, within the disinformation and the active measures playbook. Like, he was very involved in these aspects of the KGB.
That's how he grew. That's his career. In his prime, he was doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, Putin's still in his prime. You see those guys' jiu-jitsu videos? He's a badass.
Are you sure it's not a fake martial arts? People are just throwing themselves out of the way because he's Putin?
Dude, he's got Steven Seagal teaching him moves. So
dude.
It's like Putin when he plays...
Certified G.
It's like when Putin plays in the KHL All-Star game.
He's the leading Aikido scorer. Slap you in the next week. All right?
Putin in the KHL All-Star game... He just dangles through all the Russian superstars like
he's a number one favorite jersey in Russia. Putin. Number one.
People say he's maybe the Russian Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. I think people refer to Wayne Gretzky as the Canadian Vladimir Putin.
And now we're on his list.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What are you talking about? Praising him. I'm all on board, Putin.
Well, it's like... me out. I wouldn't want to be on Putin's list, and I don't want to be on Yevgeny Prigozhin's list. Yevgeny Prigozhin is linked not only to the IRA, but he also has been linked to what is known as the Wagner Group. And the Wagner Group essentially is Russian mercenaries. They are a Russian PMC based at, I think, St. Petersburg, and they have been linked to operations during the Ukrainian Civil War, Syrian Civil War. They've deployed into like the Central African Republic, and like these dudes, what people say their kind of their goal is that normally what they'll do is deploy these troops from these PMCs out into areas of operations, wherever areas of conflict, in order to downplay Russian casualties. Like, these guys go on the front lines. Like, they're basically just meat shields. Just throw them out there.
Bunch of universal soldiers or what?
Right. But they do the dirty work. Like, they do the dirty work so that Russia can, you know, technically they're not associated with the Russian government at all. Russia denies any association with these guys.
Private contractors.
But these dudes always turn up on the side that Russia
is this
backing.
Is this when they were like in Kiev, like they would have used like these kind of guys when that was all going on?
They would
on?
Have used these guys for, I think they said that these guys might have been, there's evidence to suggest that these guys were also involved in like the annexation of Crimea.
Yeah.
Back when.
All right.
So it's, yeah, these dudes are,
you don't fuck with these
shady
dudes.
As fuck. And Yevgeny Prigozhin is shady as fuck. There's an story about investigative reporter named Lubov Obol, with a colleague of hers.
One more time.
Lubov Obol.
Russian accent?
Lubov.
Lubov Obol.
Lubov Obol.
She and a colleague of hers, who are both investigative reporters, took a drone in order to kind of catch some, you know, candid footage of Yevgeny Prigozhin's compound where he lives, this huge, you know, luxurious compound and where he lives. They flew the drone over, they got the footage, and a few days later, like, they caught on a security camera outside of her building.
This was terrifying.
I know.
That was terrifying.
Look it up. Yeah, they looked it up because it was on some of the Russian, reported on by some of the independent Russian news agencies. Where there was a man standing outside her apartment building or her condo or her townhouse. And this man was standing there seemingly waiting for her. And when her husband arrived at the door, asking the man, like, what are you doing here? Or just kind of just doesn't even really look like he's even saying anything. The man stabbed him with a syringe, which later was determined had been filled with some sort of sedative. Oh. Knocked the husband out unconscious and then left.
Jesus.
What's going on with Lubob? Is she still alive or what?
She's still alive.
But dude, the video camera shows him just fucking passed out on the street, just like fucking flat out on the road, just done. And the guy just walked up, just boop, needles him. Like,
buddy, yeah, people pay good money for that shit on the downtown east side. Okay, I just got a free trip.
Oh, buddy, he's lucky he didn't get a free trip to never work. Being around. Yeah.
So the Internet Research Agency has been, you know, has been linked to like so many different disinformation campaigns. It was heavily mentioned in the Mueller report. There's in part like the first section
Dan,
of
I'm
the,
just going to interrupt you for a second before we get going into the Mueller report here in this section. Let's take a quick beer break, re-top up the beers. I have a feeling we're just scratching the surface on this one. We're going deep. Let's get a quick beer.
Yeah, let's get a quick beer. We'll be right back.
Look, you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
All right, and we're back.
All right, Dan, you were getting into the Mueller report. Let's get into it.
So the Mueller report, beyond whether you interpret what the political motivations, leanings, whatever, all of that. If you just pick out the parts about the evidence and what they've cited in there, it's a fascinating read. Like if anybody hasn't sat down to read it, it's actually really
wait, good. Has the Mueller report been completely public now, or is it still redacted?
No. There's still redacted portions of it, but you can read most of it.
You can read most of it
and it's really easily digestible. It's not a bunch of legalese mumble jumbo. It's not a thing. It's kind of long, but a lot of it you can read and whatever.
I'll read it when the director's cut comes out, unredacted.
The Snyder cut?
Yeah.
The Snyder cut, unredacted, unedited.
Can't wait for the Snyder cut.
It's darker, more serious.
Please be good. Please.
So a lot of the information that we have about the Internet Research Agency comes from the investigation of Russia's interference or, alleged interference with the United States 2016 election. And it cites a lot of, they brought in people to testify from all the social media companies. You got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, people coming in and answering very specific questions about what accounts and what kind of activity was going on with accounts that were linked to the IRA. So within the report itself, it identifies the spring of 2014 is when the IRA really started to, what they say, consolidate U.S. operations within a single department. So normally the IRA is kind of broken up into certain regions and kind of just like political
today
leans.
I'll be on Twitter. Andrew, you'll be on Facebook. Dan, Instagram. And Zell, Grindr.
No problem, comrade. No problem.
That's good. This way I can play Farmville all day. Perfect.
You can play Farmville as long as you espouse the greatness of Russia and you tell the Americans that they have a stupid system of government and should be one president for life. Now, within the documents that they got and intelligence that they gathered about the IRA, you had a nickname for these English departments, and they call them translator. The English department, or the English speaking department of the Internet Research Agency, is technically, at least one investigative reporter, Andrew Chen, seemed to figure out that the English one was kind of like the highest. These guys were kind of like the special ops of the Internet Research Agency. Like, these people were very good, because what they determined that they needed from these people was that they needed people who could, you know, effectively pose as Americans. They could type as Americans. They could, you know, very few grammar mistakes, and they could, you know, come across as genuine people of, you know, from America, online.
Right.
So which is kind of difficult. It's not easy. So is these people that had, you know, in-depth knowledge of the politics, you know, cultural, you know, humor was a big one. Like, you know, having an understanding of like kind of what's funny and where a lot of humor stems from, like American sense of humor, those things. So you needed these kinds of people. And there was a very, you know, high echelon of these people who work all together. So in the early days of what they deemed like when they took on the U.S. focus, is that they would focus on impersonating people, like individual people, individual Americans, right? So a number of accounts were created in order to just pretend that they were people, right?
So they so these people would use, they'd set up like a VPN, like proxy server themselves from Russia to pop up in Kentucky or wherever with a like American name, fake picture. Is that pretty much what they were doing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So these people would kind of post on each other's boards, and like they all knew each other. So you would have people who would have, you know, some of them had dozens of accounts, you know, posing as, you know, different people from different areas of the United States, but they would all kind of post within. That's kind of how they figured out who was, you know, who knew who, is that these people had these accounts, which were very shallow. If you went into them in the early days, like they're very, you know, they didn't have many hobbies. They didn't have many friends, you know, actual real life pictures of friends. Like, they would have these profile pictures, but a lot of the profile pictures, like if you went and searched them up, they were actually stolen.
It's not hard to do. There's filters you can do on Google image searches where you can find pictures of images that there's only one of on the internet currently. And you can find, you know what, somewhat obstructed views of a person's face, so you're not really sure who it is. You use that photo, and then you take some, you can type in house party. If you know how to use like search engines really well, you can type in house party and see like house parties where their images aren't shared widely. There's not, you know, thousands and thousands. It's not a stock image. There's only one. And you steal those, and you steal these pictures, and you make a covert account. Like, it's not a hard thing to do. It's scary how easy it is.
Basically, you're getting catfished by Igor in the IRA.
100%, man. 100%. Well, and then you got to think of like the days. Think about like, you know, think about people who had Facebook And, you know, if you were, if you had a picture of a mildly attractive woman or something, maybe some cleavage, and you're just adding people, you will amass friends. And if you amass friends, your account looks more real.
Yep.
Like, it's not hard to fool Facebook, especially in the early days before there was two-step verification, into having a fake profile, right? And then you have all access to all this, all these people's information, and it legitimized your account. Like, oh, this person was account. Look at all their 1,000 friends. Oh,
1,000 friends. Yep. All males.
We've all been there when some random hot girl adds you to Facebook. You're like, I have no idea who this person is, but I'm going to roll the dice.
Well, you're at least going to check. You're at least going to click the picture.
Except.
And okay. And then you forget you did it. And then you look 6 months later and you're like, who are these 250 people on my account?
Luckily, most of those people are, you know, you end up not with, with the top flight English, you know, covert black ops. You get maybe one of the B team people that message you.
Hello there, fellow American. Number one beautiful day. Did you know maybe Obama not from America? He's born somewhere else. Isn't that crazy? Anyways, I love guns.
Hey, fellow Canadian, have you heard the latest story that Justin Trudeau is actually a love child of Fidel Castro and still follows his father's, you know, unbridled love of socialism? No big deal, eh? Have another Horton, Tim. Okay.
I'll see you there. Double, my friend.
Double Dollarville.
Catch you at the Vancouver Canadian game.
This is exactly like that.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's pretty scary accurate. Yeah. So, this was ramping up all until 2015, where they started focusing more on actual creating larger pages and groups that actually pretended to represent a lot of U.S.-based interests. Right. So these interests included things like, you know, anti-immigration groups, you know, Tea Party activists, Black Lives Matter activists, right? All of the political structure, you know, political spectrum, you know, you could put them, like, they were just popping up these groups. So in November of 2017, you had an actual Facebook representative that testified that they had actually identified 470 IRA controlled Facebook accounts that actually made up to 80,000 posts between January of 2015 and August of 2017.
Oh man, I was just
80,000 posts.
Dude. Well, I was reading about Reddit too. Did you see on Reddit there was over like 900 different accounts that they had to delete because they linked to the IRA too?
And those are only the ones they figured out.
Crazy. Those are the B team.
Yeah.
That's Igor.
The initial Facebook ones, they think had a reach of like, was over 100 million people. So imagine that. Imagine a disinformation campaign that reaches 100 million people. That's insane. Yeah. That's crazy.
So like you said, Facebook actually estimated that the IRA reached up to like 126 million people through their Facebook accounts alone.
That's crazy. Right? That's insane. That's more reach than like all mainstream news combined.
Right. And also, the thing is that academics have kind of, you know, as this whole thing has come to light, there have been academics kind of going back and forth, professors and you know, scientists who have kind of studied the propagation of fake news and disinformation and, you know, the utilization of social media. One of the failings that people kind of point out, what people would point out as a failing, some people would point out as a failing of the Mueller report, is that it doesn't really say whether Russia helped anyone win or lose the election, if they really influenced one side directly or anything like that. Academics kind of seem to be on the fence about whether you can actually calculate or how to calculate whether these fake accounts actually influenced anybody, changed anybody's mind.
Yeah, I can see that being very hard to prove.
Right, it's difficult.
If you want to see the effects of the Internet Research Agency on a local level in your community, go on to Facebook and find your local rant and rave page, and you will see disinformation at the finest. Like, in, I have a town, I live in a town that has 31,000 people. There is a rant and rave group of my town that has more people in it than there are people that live in this community. And all the time, there, all it is posts. It is extreme right. We are like a, we are in a very left, we're like a very liberal kind of area in BC. Mm-hmm. And all the posts on here are basically, a lot of them are just weird, like ghost accounts. Some are real people that are just pushing the same stuff, but it's all articles from like rebel media saying that like Trudeau's brother, they don't talk about Trudeau's brother because he's an Iranian terrorist who makes propaganda films for the Iranian government. And they'll just post this ad and everyone will be like, oh, fuck Trudeau.
I knew that guy was fucking evil.
And they'll go, and then like you look into it and you're like, well, this seems crazy. It seems like this would be a little more mainstream, but it'll be on this fringe like rebel news that doesn't source this material, that like every other word is bolded and it is clickbait. Half the site is filled up with horny Asian singles in your dick neighborhood pills. That are looking for love and dick pills. Like it's a scam site. Like I take one look at it and I'm like, this is bullshit. But people believe this.
You're
stuff.
Like, those
they believe
dick pills
that.
Don't work. I know.
Yeah, I know. I've tried and they don't work. I don't believe this site.
Actually, it had the opposite effect.
And when you look into it, like the nugget of truth there is that like Trudeau's brother makes documentary films. And one of the documentary films he made is he documented America and Israel's actions that have caused further extremists in Iran. It's a film that sheds the light of actions that has caused more extremism in the region. I've watched it. I didn't think it was Iranian propaganda, but that's all it takes. And then the headline is that's all that people look into. And that's it. And then you have willful idiots in your local communities that get these things from the clickbait, which is probably popping up on their Facebook feed, and they're just posting it and spreading it around.
Bullshit, man. I know for a fact that I saw the Ayatollah sitting on a cushion like Jabba the Hutt, and Trudeau's brother was chained up like Princess Leia dancing for him. I seen it
on my local Facebook rant and rave.
Yeah, I seen it.
If you go into some of the studies people have done, academics have done about the, you know, disinformation or fake news, whatever you want to call it, they said that the most common themes that a lot of these posts, the most shared posts, the common themes are usually something that provoked fear, disgust, or hate. I think that was the other one.
That sounds right.
Right? Or anger. Right? So when you would see like any one of those three things, if you had one of those, that was usually a good indicator of that post was going to end up being shared, because normally people will be more, you know, something that gets a more of an emotional response as opposed to something that's like a study or numbers or something like that. If it's a picture of, you know, hungry, starving kids, and then it's got like something like, you know, Hillary Clinton did this, blah, blah, blah. You know, people will take that and then that's all they'll read, and then they'll just go ahead and post that. Like I personally run across stories where it was like they pull quotes from random blogs and things like this, and I track down the blogs. I'm like, this is a Russia-backed newspaper and like a spoof website. It was another one. What they like to do is like to take web addresses of what would be considered a credible source like New York Times, and they'll be like, instead of newyorktimes.com, it'll be like newyorktimes.info or newyorktimes.org, whatever. And then they would put that in the thing, and then you just kind of post that as the thing. And it's like, oh, this must be from the New York Times, and it says that, you know, Braden from ATT is planning on killing all babies under the age of two or something. And it's like, ah, that's crazy.
They're going to take that soundbite.
Buddy, everybody's got that random radical right-wing uncle that just shares all that shit constantly on Facebook.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We all do. It's nuts.
To be honest.
Well, we're not saying in Canada, our right wing is the same than the American.
The same guy that's sharing fucking Chuck Norris has died fucking on Facebook 1,000 times.
It's not in, for me. It's not my crazy uncle. It's actually my mother at the moment.
Oh Jesus!
Oh no!
Yeah, she's sharing everything from all the coronavirus stuff right through 5G and you name it. Bill Gates and the work. You'll see,
like 5G shit, like anti-immigration shit, like all this stuff. You're like, when you start looking into where this information is coming from, it's all like these fringe news sites that, like Dan said, don't make any. They're most of them are Russia backed, and they'll be, you know, misleading names to seem like they're credible news agencies.
Like a lot of these ones of the 5G, especially, like that's been proven now. A lot of those started as like as this disinformation where Putin himself is like praising 5G in Russia, but yet out of Russia, they're claiming 5G is causing Alzheimer's, cancer. The whole list is a mile long and you're like, okay, but where's the note? And never a source, never something, but like, oh yeah, like they actually, here's why. There's never a here's why. It's like, it's causing it. Don't ask why though. It's not there.
Right. So, like you mentioned, one of the big news outlets that kind of pushes a lot of this, disinformation, or what people have alleged, is there's a place called, it's a news site, and I'm sure if you've been on the internet for any long, you know, any measure of time, and you've been down the conspiracy holes, like you've come across Russia. It's Russia Today,
RT Network.
And I see it pop up all the time. I see it pop all the time.
Well, dude.
And
it looks so professional.
Kremlin-backed.
It looks so professional, RT News, most of the time. That's why the kids
see it. It does. And they actually they have good segments sometimes. There's actually kind of some good stuff on there that's really good. But it is state-funded. It is funded by the Russian government.
And it's genius. The documentary we watched, is how they operate RT News is genius, because like 85, 90% of the time, they are like a really well-run, straight arrow,
by the book journalism,
like news agency, by the book journalism. But then 15% of the time, they'll slip in some little shit that's shady as hell. But because the majority of the time they're so good, people overlook it.
They just go, "Oh, well, like that's RT said it." I guess like they're pretty good.
It's gotta be true.
I'll listen to that.
It only makes sense,
right? Zell mentioned it earlier, like RT was one of the big pushers for the 5G thing. They actually aired a segment on one of their shows called, you know, 5G, a dangerous experiment on humanity. That was the title of the segment. Except a few days later, you know, Vladimir Putin was the one who ordered Russian 5G to be deployed in Moscow. Yeah. He gave the go ahead for it to be deployed in Moscow.
Yeah.
But it's killing birds. Okay.
Birds dropping from the sky.
Everywhere.
Not the bees! Not the bees!
They're in my eyes!
You motherfuckers! Not the bees!
Yeah.
Great movie. Wicker Man.
It's not a great movie.
And Nobody should have to watch that movie. On the thing of RT News, though, is at the same, it's a Russian state-funded news network, but the biggest funding they get is for their English segments.
Yeah, which is... There you go.
Like how many people really like are listening to English news in Russia? Can't be that many. But that stuff's pumped worldwide. They got like some like 30 a reach of like 30 million viewers or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy that the reach they have. And I come across their stuff all the time, RT. And then when I see it, like, okay, I'll read it, give it a chance. And then I got to check it myself. But sometimes they'll post stuff and it's like, it's not backed at all. Like, it's like, this is just really fringe out there. Like this is,
and it's one thing to like present like fringe topics and theories and stuff as just that, as theories and topics. But a lot of times it presented as truth, as fact, right? So when people read it, the headline says this is this because of this and this, and you're like, oh, it's not like scientists like theorize that this may be this. It's not like that. It's never presented as like maybe this. It's like, no, this is it, and this is why.
Right. And they'll usually, like, RT has this habit sometimes of bringing in, from the articles, they'll bring in an expert, but it'll be the one expert. Like, it'll be the one guy who is saying something counter to what is the common, you know, whichever is the kind of like the consensus, like the scientific consensus of a certain topic or something like that. They'll bring in the one guy who does it, and then they'll be like, and they'll give him a platform, and they will, or him or her, a platform to kind of go on, and they'll just be like, yeah, that sounds good.
Whoever's the cheapest to pay off, basically.
Dude, and then I bet you it goes like this. So you do that interview on RT News, and then 4 or 5 years later, they source that thing, same as like the AIDS thing from before. They source that 6 years later and be like, yeah, this expert said on RT News back here, blah, blah, blah. And that same thing over and over again.
And like Brayden said, they don't even wait 5 years. They don't have to wait. It's like 2 or 3 years now. It's like, I see that stuff and people will reference back to like an old RT article. And I'd be like, that's what?
That's state funded. The thing is people say like, well, how do we know it's the Russians? And with the AIDS, you know, with the AIDS story, there was a lot of pressure. There was, you know, researchers and stuff back then who were looking into this Russian disinformation, and they gathered enough evidence that they basically like everyone eventually was like, it looks like you did this, Russia, to the point where Gorbachev came out and was like, yeah, we did the AIDS thing. We're sorry. We don't want to do that again.
Was it Reagan? Was it to Reagan? Was that the president?
Reagan said it. Reagan like accused him of it and was like outright, because mainly before that, the prevailing strategy had been to just don't address it, right? Because if you address it, and you give it, you lend it credibility.
Deny everything. That's rule number 6 of their 7-step plan for disinformation. But I guess you can only deny for so long till the evidence is overwhelming and be like, eh, you caught me. Hey, sorry.
Well, they've learned from that now, because now it seems like it's lie till you die, or we kill you.
Or you die. Lie till you die.
Till we decide you die.
Suicided.
Yeah.
You know, because I will go ahead and say this. Like, if this doesn't sound like a plot to a supervillain spy thriller, I don't know what it does. What a lot of people will attribute the new, like the formation of the IRA and this kind of propagation of a new cyber war, a lot of people, Russian investigative journalists and historians will kind of, they attribute a lot of this to the orchestration of one, a guy named Vyacheslav Volodin. And he was the deputy head of Putin's administration, and he was also his kind of architect of domestic policy. And one of his main tasks when he came in was to, you know, rein in the internet. That was his thing.
So
he had installed in his office a custom designed computer with a system loaded in it called Prism.
Dope.
Which was specifically designed to monitor public sentiment online using up to like 60 million sources.
So it's like an eagle eye?
It's like Cerebro.
Yeah, basically.
Politics.
Supercomputer.
And so what the company that built it advertised Prism as was, they would say it would actively track social media activities that result in increased social tension, disorderly conduct, and protest sentiments and extremism.
So
that's what it did.
So it tracks that stuff and allows them to like scrub,
analyze it, break it down, be like, this is what gets likes, this is what gets shared. And this was back in 2011.
Oh, wow. So does Russia have like free and open internet borders, or is it like China where it has like a state controlled like internet?
They're trying to get like their own internet. There's definitely been push. I think Putin's pushing for like their own.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
You
like
know
Splinternet
why?
Dude, or something. I've kind of heard of it. Like
it's because they are so ahead of the game on cyber warfare right now that they identify like, look how easy this is for us to do to everyone. The only way for them not to be able to do it to us is if we have an internet that is controlled by us, that is free from outside influence.
Well, and it's obviously like the Russians are not the only ones that are doing this. You know what I mean? There's no fucking chance. They might be the best at it, but.
Oh, they're the best at it by far, but there's,
other countries ones. Have been identified to having their kind of own kind of internet things. I know Pakistan has its own, I believe. Probably China, and I think North Korea probably has one as well.
The one from Pakistan's the really bad one where you get, you're like, this is so bad. This English is not even right at all. Not
yeah,
even
like,
close.
Step your game up, buddy.
Get better.
It's the same guys that are pretending to be CRA calling you.
They just do the big lie and then they stop.
Yeah. The studio phone line has, because of like, I have websites and stuff and I refuse to pay for like the privacy. So I always get these random calls and like emails of any type, and every scam you could ever think of happening on the internet, I'm getting on a daily basis. And it's so easy to find it because half of the words are misspelled.
Yeah.
Not even trying.
Game up. You want to be good? You got to get like the Russians, perfect your English.
Get all the right type, buddy. Figure it out.
I almost got had by one. It was from Apple and had this exact same layout on the email. But at the very end, it said .com with two dots. ..
Oh, shit.
And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I didn't order fucking this thing. It wants you to like put your password in, like verify the purchase. Almost got me. That was the closest one I got so far. .com, .. That's what it was. It was so weird. Anyways.
I mean, I've learned from experience. I have definitely sent some money to a few different Nigerian princes. But like, I'm on my game now. I know better.
He's waiting. You're waiting for your gold to return.
Yeah. 10,000 return.
But that's not what the IRA is doing. The IRA more like, they're like, all right, let's organize a white supremacist rally and like a Black Lives Matter rally the same day in the same town.
Well, they actually did that in Houston.
Yeah, in Houston.
Like that. Like that's a real thing.
They organized.
But it was anti-Islamic groups and it was.
Dude, that's the first step in their 7-part plan, man. Look for the cracks to make things worse.
Oh, dude, there's so many cracks right now. The world, 2020 is nothing but fucking cracks.
Dude, and you could attribute the cracks to maybe the long game played by Russia over the last 40 years, putting little wedges in the cracks.
Yeah.
Little wedge here, little wedge here, give it a little tap. And then they get outed, they try a different tactic. They come in from a different angle, wedge from the other side, wedge the other way, keep wedging, long game. You could say that this is like a 40-year buildup of disinformation, and probably in the last 10 years is probably worse than it's like the whole time Russia's been doing it in the last 10 years combined. But you could make a pretty strong case of saying like a lot of the stuff that's happened since the election of the last administration in the United States could track that back, at least some of it, back to Russia.
Like, I always found it funny that like, I don't know for the States, but like when I'm looking on Twitter and stuff, I'll look at like the top whatever's trending. And I'll always find it very comical, especially now after learning about the IRA, that there'll be a hashtag that like Trudeau must go, and then a hashtag will be like sheer stupidity. So sheer's the leader of the opposition party. There'll be these two hashtags that are both trending, number one and number two. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, how are both these trending? And then you go and like so much of it is just like a random account that's like tweeting nothing and just throwing the hashtag on it. But then the other pit is like real people getting upset, being like, yeah, Trudeau must go. And then like another person will be like, well, Scheer's an idiot. Scheer's stupidity. And like the infighting just starts based on like someone
that's
tweeting like Animal Crossing, how much your fucking bells today, hashtag Trudeau must go, hashtag Scheer's stupidity. And you're like, what? Like that's all it took. That's all it took to get like two people that have opposing views to get together and argue. And the internet is such a fucking perfect place to build this fucking hatred because you don't have to look people eye to eye. So you can just fucking fuck you. I hate you and I hate your views.
Dude,
and like be free and clear of doing anything. You're like,
The internet's the perfect place, the perfect breeding ground for step five of the plan of the useful idiot. They're everywhere. 100%. You can find them everywhere. Not that they're an idiot as a person, like take them away from the internet. And you have those two people have a normal conversation, it might be different. But over the internet,
if you take
is
people
a whole...
away from internet, we're all idiots.
Yeah, well, yes, I guess. But anyways,
yeah, it's an ongoing battle, and it's going to keep going. Most academics agree that this is going to be something that it's going to always be around. There's nothing really you can do because you can't censor the internet.
Nope.
Right? You can't just kick everybody off because they have views that are differ from one another or things like that, because that's not what the internet is about. While, you know, there will be some, you know, whether they're state funded or not, you know, bad actors on the internet that are taking advantage of, you know, the pretty much the democratic nature of the internet, where anybody can say anything and you're supposed to be kind of free from persecution of whatever that you're, you know, whatever your views are. You're not free from, you know, criticism, but you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be thrown in jail for what you say on the internet unless something really, really, really.
You have to go full tilt for that. Yeah.
You know,
the one thing I wanted to touch on too, that I found very fascinating in that documentary, is one of the attributed things to the Internet Research Agency is Pizzagate. And what they did was genius, in the sense of when WikiLeaks released all those emails of John Podesta, there was an initial leak that was just leaked. That was just normal. But then when it was announced that there was going to be a second leak, Russia was like licking their chops, and they were just leaking information along with the leak. So they were just slipping stuff in of just being like, these are like, they were having their bot accounts and stuff being like, this was in the emails. Oh my God. And they were making these links. And, you know, we talked about useful idiots. We did an episode on it. And like, now looking back, I'm like,
yeah, but what in that episode was the useful idiot part?
Oh, just doing an.
Just talking
doing
about
an
it in general?
Episode about it at all, I would say.
But there is...
Doing
there,
an episode it, about it at all and saying that, you know, a lot of this information may or may not have come from Russia.
Yeah, but is WikiLeaks Russia?
No, but that's
what I mean.
Not,
so what...
But they used it to slip it in.
Yeah, but what did they slip in is what I'm asking.
That there's a basement at the Comet Pizza.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, but did they slip in, like, the pedophile code and all that stuff? Or was that really in the emails?
Well, now we're getting into some hyper-normalization. I don't know what to believe anymore, Zell.
Right? And there is...
I don't know what to believe.
I totally get that, but there is a rampant pedophilia thing going on worldwide.
That's your kernel of truth.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Kernel of truth, sure. But like the Epstein stuff and all that, that's not Russia. That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
But that doesn't mean it has anything to do with a pizza place.
Oh, Comet Pizza.
Yeah, okay, the pizza place, maybe not. But what, that guy who owned the pizza place, was it Alfondas or whatever? That guy was fucking weirdo, man.
Well, he got his storefront shot up, so.
Yeah, but do you remember his Instagram posts and stuff? Anyways, we're getting off topic, but.
A bit of a weirdo.
I'm not saying don't just say that's all it's all Russia, because there is some there is some pretty weird stuff currently going on in the world with that, so.
I mean,
have to recheck it now. I have to go back and revisit it.
Like when you were naming these different places that have these agencies, like Pakistan and China and whatnot. But like, you know, every country has their own way of doing something like this. Like, look at COINTELPRO. It's almost the same fucking thing, just different strategy.
That's why I was actually going to say that. Like, what? It's pretty easy.
It's the same thing.
It's pretty easy to blame Russia. If you imagine it was this, like a modern day COINTELPRO.
Yeah.
You're blaming Russia.
Well,
but it's really you're doing it to your own people.
Well, that's
what
we're
seeing
now.
I would totally believe that if, you know, the United States was out there killing journalists like at the rate that Russia is.
Yeah, but like look what they're doing to their own people. Look what they did to the Black Panther members. You know what I mean? That we talked about. Like, that's, you slaughtered your own people.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is that I would believe that the, you know, the current IRA thing is some sort of, you know,
COINTEL
deep state thing. COINTEL pro run by the CIA, NSA, Homeland Security,
I don't think they were killing more journalists. No, I think we're like in the West, we haven't quite caught on the level that they're able to manipulate us using these tools, and we're so far behind the game. Like in the documentary we watched, Dan, what was the documentary called again?
Operation Infection.
But like, there's other countries that it's so bad there that they have to dedicate like prime time, like news shows, that it's just like, all right, this week in Russia, propaganda that like disinformation has been this. So if you read this story, this is Russian propaganda.
That's a good idea.
This is Russian propaganda.
We need this.
A good idea.
Dude, what the Russia is doing is so fucking genius, because even if we had a show right now, if we had a show every Sunday night that was like, hey, listen, this is what Russia's doing. Like, did you read this? And on the internet, this is Russia. This is Russia. There's a little part of me that my just like overall distrust of the government wouldn't think that, yeah, maybe they're disproving 85% of Russian news, right? Just like we say of RT, but 15%, they're just saying they're attributing shitty things that they're doing to Russia fake news. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't believe anything.
No, I hear you, but I think in that, like, that's almost like the next step of trying to combat this. It's not saying it's Russia, just like, here's news from around the world. We're going to dissect it. We're going to go through the sources and we're going to see what happens if we can track down where it comes from. If you try and take like governments and like countries out of it, just be like, all right, this 5G is causing autism at an accelerated rate. It was posted by this and this, and then you go back and you go through it and you try and like reverse track where it comes from.
It makes me wonder. It really makes me wonder, like when I was watching this documentary and doing some of these readings, all these fake stories and these stories, you know, of like vaccines are, you know, dangerous, don't take vaccines, the earth is flat. How much of this shit, like, you know, was maybe out there and just like propagated by the IRA, right? Where they were just like, let's fucking go with it. Like, just make it, right? This will cause dissent amongst people, right? It's simple, as stupid as, oh, the earth is flat, the earth is round, you're a fucking idiot. Well, you're an idiot, right? It's like all these little things just create, it's just fanning the overall fire.
Well, think about vaccines is a perfect example. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just fanning flames. It's actually spreading fucking disease. It's right? Killing people.
You have
measles.
People believe.
Like, back, we're having diseases return that we haven't seen in fucking years, man. Like, the ramifications of spreading that, we're talking actual human lives lost because of this.
And like I said, I don't know how much of this could be attributed to IRA or not, but it made me question, as I was watching this documentary,
question
that
everything.
Mixed with watching hypernormalization, I'm like, I honestly don't know what the fuck to believe anymore.
It's fucking crazy.
I fucking question everything. That's all. Question everything.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say the one drawback to having a democratically elected government and society is that in order for that society to move forward, usually what is needed is a general consensus on what, you know, makes up reality, what facts are, you know. When you don't have that, when you don't have this general consensus and you don't have, you know, logic-based or, you know, evidence-based policies going out, like, it just stalls. You know, you can't get anywhere. You're stuck.
You have people, instead of like, you have people, there was a great quote in one of those links you send us. It was like, Russia's pretty much got people debating whether it's fact or not instead of finding solutions to problems. So we're stuck at this debating if it's even real or not. We're just stuck there. No solutions can be made because we're just stuck debating if what was said is even real or not. And they're stuck. And then Russia, you know, Russia's over there just like, good, good, what? Good, excellent.
Mr. Burns in it.
Yeah. He was like, yeah, Victor, that flat earth misinformation was a great idea. I'm sorry for doubting you. Americans are very stupid. You're right.
Oh, comrade, yes. I could. When you first mentioned it, I said there's no way Americans are so stupid to say the earth is flat. However, I was wrong.
It caught on like wildfire. Even Jaden Smith. He loves it.
Son of Will. You know, Will Smith. He's the great.
You know, Fresh Prince.
You know, the big Willie style.
Bel Air.
Yes.
I believe that's top 40 right now, Big Willie style.
Number one hit song at the disco.
Anyways, it's part of the reason, because Dan mentioned this months ago now. It's part of the reason we have not been touching the current conspiracies, because you just don't know. You know, you just don't know anything.
It's like it's been so much work. Like it's more work to kind of sort through everything because there's so much. It used to be like you just had a couple of, you know, out there articles or books or things that are published and you'd be like, okay, I got to go through that. Now it's just there's so much stuff out there and you have to sort through a lot of it and it just gets posted and shared. And one of the things I read about is how these, you know, they're basically trolls is what they are. Russian trolls.
Yep.
And what they're doing is now they're like evolving.
What kind of trolls are we talking about here? Are we talking about the type that live under bridges or?
Yeah, with fucking the ones keyboards.
That, turn with to the stone hair? In daylight.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you kill to kill them, you have to hit them with fire or acid or they'll
rebel
regenerate.
Milk. Rebel milk.
Yeah, milk. Like Ernest P. Worrell.
Oh, yeah. Or milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoots out their nose. God, I used to hate that movie.
What?
Not Ernest like, P. Worrell scared, like I was scared stupid? Of the troll. The troll is ugly as
oh,
hell.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Fuck. That fucking movie's awesome.
These trolls have been evolving. now, and you'll see this, like if you've got that one person in your Facebook friends, whether it's a family member or a friend, you know, they will post what looks to be screen captures or screenshots. That's right. A lot of the conspiracy stuff that you'll see, now is like screenshots, right? This is because this gets around a lot of the kind of algorithms that social media sites use to kind of target disinformation or hate speech or things like that, because their algorithms only detect certain words or phrases within text.
Right.
If it's in a picture, it doesn't pick it up.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way to scan it.
Right. So that is one of the things that people have, some academics and some people have said, I think places like Germany where it was a big thing where they banned memes, or at least Russia too, I think they banned memes, or Russia or France. I can't remember. There was some big deal where they banned memes.
Germany. Because, yeah. It was Germany. Did
yeah.
It.
Germany had banned memes and that was like a big deal. And I never really understood it at first. Cause I'm like, oh, that's just like, you know, that's crazy. I'm like banning memes. Like memes are funny, you know, most of the time, you know, apparently I don't go on the message boards where it's like they use memes to kind of propagate and people say also radicalize youth into these kind of ideologies that spread either hate or racism or things like that. But that's what people were using because that gets around those filters. It gets around those algorithms because it's in a picture and not specifically text. So anytime that I see like people send in like a screenshot or something of like a Twitter post or a Facebook post,
flag goes
I'm
up.
Automatically like already like boom,
red
like,
flag.
Bullshit raiders going off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
hopefully after talking about all this stuff now, maybe people will be a little more informed. As in,
give it a second thought before you read a headline and
just dig a little deeper. And if you don't really know, I think just don't share it is the best way forward. Yeah. Because if you don't
share, if you share it, be like, I'm not sure about this. Like, you know, whenever I share something with people, I usually make sure for me personally, I check like who wrote it. Right. If I can find the author and I can click on it and I have a biography about them and they actually exist, I'm like, okay, who published it? The website, I usually check the about me page.
Right.
And I check the websites about me, about us or whatever, and their mission statement or whatever they have. And there's stuff in there that seems kind of either, you know, leaning one way or the other. And it's not like we strive to provide unbiased, you know, objective reporting. That's usually the kind of keywords I look for when I'm looking for stuff. That if it doesn't say that, then I'm like, okay, I'm out.
So basically, at the end of this thing, we're gonna attach Dan's phone number and email, and just send him all your stuff, and he's gonna sort through it and let you guys
check
know.
It through it. He'll let you know where it's from, if it's good or not.
He's gonna let you know if it's too legit.
I get stuck. People send stuff into us, and I get stuck like for half a day, like going into these little rabbit holes and like. It's, I wouldn't even call them rabbit holes, more like badger holes, because you go down there and you're just like, get out, and you're like, fuck, what did I just read? Like, it hurts.
That's why I don't read.
Exactly. Blissful ignorance.
Yeah.
That's why we have to give Braden pictures.
Yeah, and, just a bunch of pictures. Yeah. I like it.
Anyways, I think we could, you could talk about this for a while, but let's start wrapping it up a bit.
All right, let's we didn't have a lot for space news, so let's skip it for next week. Why don't we get in, Zell? You got a theory of the week? Who sent in that doth thou even theorize?
Okay, this is one of the greatest photos, like renderings we've got since we started the podcast. This week's theory of the week is Tyler Klein. He put our heads on like, what is this? Like 1800s, like military and like probably 1800s or what era are we talking here? Anyways, if you're watching the live stream, I'll pull it up. If you're not watching the live stream and you want to check it out, you can go to Facebook, go to the YouTube tab, or go to YouTube and search for Alien Theorists Theorizing.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I'm not a military. I'm a Renaissance man.
I think Zell's is an actual photo.
That's
an actual photo that they just found.
The lighting, that's a photo. The rest of ours were photoshopped.
That's me. So I'm an 18th century military general. That's just that I've been a vamp. I've been alive
this
for
six. Back
six,
during the Romanov days.
I've been alive for 600 years. Braden is I don't know what that
I've
is.
I've got very dainty shoulders.
I was
going to
say your shoulders are so tiny.
Yeah.
Here's Braden in a 18th century French salon.
That is very. You know, like I like the large head because that is very fitting.
Accurate.
Yep. Big
every
head.
Episode, my head gets a little bigger.
You do have narrow shoulders for a big dude, but look at that, those little things.
Those little pinner shoulders.
Look at those little tiny things. Look at it.
Anyways, we'll go next. We got Dan here with his.
I like it.
I love it.
With this giant
the hat is rad.
Feather and hat.
It's a maester's hat.
That's a maester's hat.
That feather, yeah, that feather seconds as a pen. It seconds as a pen.
Yeah.
You pull it out. That's great.
Last, we got Andrew.
Oh, that's great.
Pure Renaissance man.
Wear the big hat. Wow.
I'm being painted right now.
Oh, dude, it's so funny.
Yeah. You got a fucked up thumb. Oh, yeah. That's even realistic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's just good. So, theory of the week, Tyler Klein. Thanks,
buddy.
Thanks.
That gave us a good laugh. I like those. Doth thou even theorize?
Yeah.
Doth thou even theorize?
Does thou if know what I mean?
Yeah, that was just
Did
good.
I fucking say it once today? Did you guys hear it?
I mean?
Doth thou even pronounce it? Someone made fun of me.
I mean, I don't even think I said it tonight.
Fact check.
What, are you talking about, you know
no,
what I mean?
I didn't know what you mean all night, I don't think.
I took a finger I took a finger count, but I lost count, so there you go.
Oh, really? I've been trying. I kept it down to one beer. I usually, when kidding. I drink too much, it just start fucking flying.
Oh, then we know what you mean.
I only noticed it when you got drunk, and then people started calling you out, and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, maybe he does say it a lot.
Man, that one time where I caught myself saying it, my brain broke. I was like trying to finish the sentence without saying anything. Everything like rebooted.
I mean?
Oh, man. And then I ended up saying it anyways. Like, there was no way around it. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Anyways, I got some patrons, new Patreon supporters.
Patrons.
If you would like to support, if you want to support your favorite podcast and get a whole bunch of extra content, go to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or find the link in the podcast notes. And you get your own private feed and get a whole bunch of bonus goodies.
A whole bunch, baby.
Early access to Kiss Files.
Like humble brag. We probably do more than most podcasts on Patreon.
Most, I would say. Not all.
I would say I'm going to say most. if you're like taking Patreon as a whole of what podcasts do, we're in the 1% of people who do it right. Yeah, you get a whole nother podcast.
You do.
Almost.
You get a few.
We are the 1%.
You probably get got to be getting close to a 100 hours of bonus content that's not available.
Got to be getting close to 100 hours for sure. Anyways, newest supporters, we have Gary Magden, Avis Lee, Victor Farrow, not Agent Muddler in disguise. I'm not sure if he meant to put Agent Mulder, but Muddler.
He's a Muddler. He's a bartender.
Not Agent Muddler in disguise. Jason Barnett, Austin Brown, Joe Romero, Jed Hogg, Dylan Crow, oh, genius little guy here, Hugh G. Rexon.
Oh, that guy's, he's on Patreon.
Hugh G. Rexon.
He's on Discord.
He fucking burned me really good one day.
And last of the week is Dat Boy Philly. So we appreciate the support.
And not only do you get access to all our bonus case files, but you get access to our Discord server, which has taken on a life of its own.
It's this whole thing. It's cool.
That community is awesome. Man, we got
some
of
the
different
nicest people in there and artistic people. There are people posting in some like just really cool. People make a lot of shit, and it's like, how do you do that? I don't know. People are posting like their artwork, like paintings, drawings.
Way more talented.
We got some knitters in there.
It's turned from just a like podcast like chat room to like a creative commons of a whole bunch of people. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah, it's taken on, like I said, it's taken on a life of its own. But I'm saying that, like, if people were fucking around on Discord, you're getting the ban hammer instantly, because that's a place of creation. It's awesome. Like, just such a good place to support. You get access to that too on our Patreon. So
yeah, all supporting your favorite show.
So we got a band of the week or what?
Yeah, it's going to be my band this week. I'm not going to play a Zeltron original, because we got a new song coming out next week. So I'm going to play one of our old songs to remind you that we are still a band. And next week I'll be playing the first single in over a year and a half. So be pumped for that. So this week I'm going to play a song called Nothing to Lose. So if you're a fan of...
What's your band called, in case this is the first episode that anybody ever listened
if
to?
If you've never listened to the show, my band is called... Oh, you motherfucker, I'll kill you. It's called Lucky...
Barrel of Monkey.
Called Lucky Monkey. You can find it anywhere music is found. This song's called Nothing to Lose. I'm going to end the podcast before we keep going about the monkeys.
Barrel of Monkeys is great. I like that.
Monkey's Lunch?
Monkey's Lunch. All right. Thanks, everyone. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace, everybody.
Nothing to live for, nothing to lose. Nothing for me but whatever I choose. I do what I want and I do what is right. I do it all day and I do it all night. What I want and do it for me. No time for that, only time for this. You give me ignorance and I'll show you bliss. I don't care for all that I don't know. I can't assume all the fame for the entire globe. Say what you want about ignorance. Everybody deserves to find a little bliss. A little bliss. Just like a kid again, yeah. Nothing to worry in the summer, but the sun may set, yeah. And all I want is just to be just like a kid. I never thought that I would have to pretend. And all I want is just to be just like a kid again.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.